situation here. So I'm online. I'd hope to be down actually in Downpatrick with you, but hopefully everybody's safe and well today with this last few days of really bad weather. First of all, could I take apologies, please?
We've no apologies received, Bruna.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Curran.
Okay, thank you. Okay, as I said, I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting, and hopefully you can all hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are switched off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I remind members of their obligations to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the I am feature so that we are aware this is an active decision and there's not connectivity problems. Okay, members, thank you for that. I'll take any declarations of interest at this juncture if any members choose to do so. Okay, members, item number three is the action sheet for the meeting on the 22nd of September 2023. I'm going to take each page for accuracy first. So page one, page two, page three, page four, and page five. Okay, members, no changes to that. Could I take a proposer and seconder to approve the action sheet, please? A proposer from Councillor Murphy and a seconder from Councillor Devlin. Thank you very much for that. Okay, members, moving to item number four, the Corporate Risk Register, including the ERT Directorate Risk Register. I'd ask Gerard to take us through this report, please. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, in front of you is the Corporate Risk Register. So it was reviewed by the senior management team on the 5th of January 2023. Appendix 1 highlights the overview of our Corporate Risk Register, and you can see that we have 11 corporate risks, 6 of which are red, 4 amber, and 1 is now a yellow level risk. So Appendix 1 takes you through the detail of any of the changes. So 2 risks have, the score has moved downwards, so that's Corporate Risk 6 and Corporate Risk 11. And then in the comments section, you can see any new actions which have been added to the risk register since the last committee meeting. Section 2.2 of the report then details the ERT Directorate Risk Register. So as part of best practice and risk management, the Directorate Risk Registers go on a rotational basis every quarter. So the ERT Risk Register is updated quarterly at their DMT meeting, but is viewed by the Audit Committee on an annual basis for noting. So the ERT Directorate Risk Register is detailed in full at Appendix 3. There's 8 risks, 7 of which are amber and 1 of which is yellow. So members are asked to approve the changes to the Corporate Risk Register and to note the ERT Directorate Risk Register. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you, Gerard, for that. Members, any questions? I have a proposer and a seconder to approve the CRR and to note the ERT, please. Proposed by Councillor McAteer. And seconded by Councillor Murphy. Thank you very much, members. Okay, item number five is prompt payments, and Gerard again is going to take us through this report.
So members, this is just the quarterly statistics. So in September, I presented the quarter one statistics, and I've kept this table in just for information. So you can see we had paid 27% of invoices within 10 days and 72% within 30 days, and the average number of days was 32. So I explained back in September we had a new purchase-to-pay system which went live last January, and those two systems running side by side until June time. So significant progress has been made. In quarter two of this year, we paid 88% of invoices within 30 days and 42% within 10 days, and the average number of days was 26 to pay suppliers. And then for quarter three, taking us right up to the 31st of December 2022, we're back up to above 90% paid within 30 days, 91, and 51% are now paid within 10 days, with the average number of days to pay a supplier 26. So I suppose the key things we're going to be looking at going forward is reducing the number of invoices paid outside the payment period of 30 days. It's still at 9%, so you want to see that as low as possible, and also the average number of days to pay suppliers to fall below the 26. But I think there's positive signs with the new purchase to pay system. So members are just asked to note the details of the report.
Thank you, Gerard. Councillor McAteer has a question.
Yeah, it was just really, you know, just to see what are the expectations in all councils, you know, in terms of that 9%. I'm sure people can end up comparing figures around the country. And, you know, so it's just, how does it sit just really with other?
Yeah, Councillor McAteer, so these are actually scrutinised by the department. Each quarter we send a return to DFC, and they publish the stats on their website. So it's basically, you know, comparing all 11 councils. And all councils are the same within our terms and conditions to suppliers. It's to pay within 30 days. The DFC have included a 10 days target, which probably isn't something we're trying to achieve with as much vigour as the 30 days, because that's our terms and conditions. But within the league tables, we're around average at the minute, and I think our figures will hopefully only get better when the new system is really fully integrated into council.
So sitting at average, which is fair enough, and going to get better. So, okay, good stuff. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Could I get a proposer and seconder, members, to note the report, please? Proposed by Councillor McAteer and seconded by Councillor Devlin. Thank you, members. Item number six is the members' register of interests, and I believe our new Director of Corporate Services, who I've met online and is very welcome to the Council from my own perspective as well. It's good to work with Josephine, and could maybe Josephine take us through the report, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Brona. The report is attached there for information. I think the key fact here is we have had, four new councillors join us, and we have their conflict of interest or the register of interest form back in the council. Otherwise, the paper is there for noting.
Thank you, Josephine. Could I get a proposer and seconder, members, to note the report? Proposed by Councillor Murphy. And seconded by Councillor McAteer. Thank you, members. Item number seven is the NIAO annual audit letter, and I'd ask Karen if she would take us through this report, please. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Chair. Really, just to take the letter largely as read, the letter normally sets out just the results of our work over the course of the year. So it includes the work on the external audit of the annual report and accounts, which was certified in September. It also takes into account work that we do in terms of looking to see if the council has proper arrangements in place, and also our work on performance improvement. You'll see in the report that there is a sort of a page of key stats that we normally provide just to show variances over the course of the years. A couple of things just to bear in mind. Firstly, the absence stats have increased Not unusual, to be fair, given the impact that COVID has had over the course of a few years. I think it's just important that understanding that increase and making sure that I suppose it doesn't become the norm, if you like, and that the absence is properly managed, and hope that will reduce in future years. The other thing to bear in mind, I suppose, is just the reference that we make in the report in terms of unused reserves, and just how important it is to make sure that there are solid plans in place for those, and indeed how important it is just to make sure that projections going forward are on solid ground, given the challenges, I suppose, that the council, including other councils, faces over the course of the year. So that was all I was going to say, Chair. Happy to take any comments or queries.
Thank you, Karen. Members, have you any questions? I have a question of my own, Karen. It's probably directed more to the officers of the council, and as you mentioned, the staff absence is showing an increase, as still seems to be in line with a number of other councils. I know the ones I'm sitting on, that's certainly what's coming through. My question is really in relation to the current year, 22-23. How are the figures looking, and what work is being done in order to ensure there is no further increase in the absence? And just some more information would be very welcome. Thank you.
If I maybe take that one, Brona, we have policy procedures in place. So if somebody is off ill, there are processes that kick in. We do regularly review the statistics on absence at SMT for our directorates and also for the council as a whole. And depending on, I suppose, how long or what the reasons are that people are off for, the policy and procedures will dictate our actions. So you can be assured that we're keeping a close eye on it at an officer level. I think people are off for a number of reasons. Some are short term, some are longer term. And as Karen has said about other organisations, I think now we're seeing the impact of return to the workplace and some of the illnesses. We are seeing more people off at the moment with different issues. So just to be assured that we're looking at these figures, and we'll keep them under review over the coming months.
Thank you, Josephine. I have a question here from Councillor Byrne.
Chair, that was the exact same question to the ward that you were going to ask on the absenteeism. I can't get into Teams, so I'm going to have to go through Councillor McAteer's. I've got my password, it's locked me out.
No problem, Councillor Byrne. Okay, thank you. Okay, members, could I get a proposer and seconder to note the report from Karen, please? Okay, I have a proposer from Councillor Murphy and a seconder from Councillor McAteer. Thank you, members. Items, we now move into the closed business of today's committee, and items 8 to 19 are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So could I get a proposer and seconder to go into closed business, please?
I propose there on 9, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. I think I have a seconder. Is it from Councillor Lewis? Sarah, maybe keep me right on that. Okay. Sarah, can you indicate when...
That's fine. Happy to second, Chair.
Thank you. Sarah, can you let me know when it's good to go on? Very much. Okay, members, just to bring the other committee report back on the closed business. Item 8 was the final NIAO report to those charged with governance, and it was proposed by Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Murphy to note the report. Item number 9, the NIAO audit fees, Councillor Bothy proposed, and Councillor Devlin seconded to note the report. Item number 10, the update with the audit recommendations, Councillor Murphy proposed, and Councillor Byrne seconded to note the report. Item number 11, the direct award contracts. Councillor Murphy proposed and Councillor McAteer seconded to note the report. Item 12, update on fraud and whistleblowing. Councillor Lewis proposed, Councillor McAteer seconded to note the report. Item 13 through to 18, which is the ASM summary report and the reports on cash handling, project governance, payroll, waste management and the review of DFC funding applications, proposed by Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Byrne to note the reports. And item number 19, performance and audit assessment section 95 report, was proposed by Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor McAteer. Yes, to note the report and the action, bringing back in report and planning for the next audit committee. Okay, members, that takes us now back into the open business. The last main report, which is item number 20. It's the mid-year assessment of performance, and welcome Catherine, who's going to take us through that report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This mid-year assessment was approved by SPNR in November, so I'm just bringing it here today to be noted. I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, members, any questions? Okay, if we could have a proposer and seconder to note the report.
Proposed by Councillor Lewis and seconded by Councillor Murphy.
Okay, thank you very much. Members, that leaves us with three circulars, and Gerb is going to just update us briefly in relation to the three circulars. Thank you, Gerb.
Members, we just have two circulars in relation to best practice in relation to direct award contracts and grants or procurements. So these are Dear Accounting Officer letters, which really apply to central government, but are for us for best practice. And I suppose the one paper which members will be interested in is the rate support grant, and many members will already be aware we've got a reduction in our rate support grant allocation for the 2022-23 year. So in 2020-21, the total pot, I suppose, was nearly 16 million. And you can see from the letter, it is now 8.9 million. So I suppose for our council in 2021, we got 1.47 million. And in 2021, and for this year, we're only getting 733,000. So it's quite a significant cut.
Thank you, Gerard. I'm sure that members are disappointed in the reduction in the grant. I remember the time when it was actually 21 million, and we always knew that the government was going to cut that, and obviously now they've cut it quite substantially. Okay. Could I get a proposer? Okay, question, sorry.
And just a brief comment on this, I suppose. We talk about it in other forums, but in terms of the audit committee, and obviously, Jared and Josephine, earlier on, we didn't amend the risk register, even noting the reduction in the rate support grant. Is that senior management's content that it doesn't really, although it's a reduction that we're very, very disappointed in, that it won't hamper the future financial sustainability of the council to a degree sufficient enough to change the risk register?
I think it was corporate risk 10, Councillor Byrne, that was included and was already a red risk because it was to do with the financial implications for council. So I think we were aware this was coming down the line, and it was maybe a few years delayed due to COVID. But it is a hit to council finances, and obviously we're substituting it for 22-23 and 23-24 from reserves. But after that, we're going to have to find the efficiencies within council to keep providing services while losing. That's a significant chunk of money going forward. But the risk register reflects it. But I suppose the Solus group are still lobbying central government and hopefully trying to get some of it reinstated for next year, but no one knows what will happen.
Okay. Thank you. Members, that just remains for one item that's probably AOB, if I may, in relation to the date of the next meeting. Per the diary, it's the 25th of April, but obviously we have the elections now, I believe, on the 18th of May, and whether or not we can go ahead with the meeting in April under PIRDA, I'm sure it remains to be seen. I think that's too tight and too close from discussions with Josephine and Gerard earlier on. So, members, has anybody any thoughts on it? I have asked the officers to try and see what would be appropriate, whether we split it into two meetings, for example, one early April to keep this going, because to leave it beyond the elections, I think, is just too long from a governance point of view. We might be able to bring some reports to early April and then bring the normal reports, like the annual report, et cetera, to meeting after the elections. So, members, that's my thinking at the moment. I'd welcome any other comments from yourselves.
Chair, I agree with your thinking. I think if we leave it too long after the election, given that it's pushed back to the 18th of May as well, you're talking about the end of May, it's probably too long a period of time. So if we did have the meeting early April and split it into two meetings, that's probably wise. But then also aware that the membership of this committee will change drastically as people are shuffled out as well. So even more reason probably have a meeting in early April. Mm. Say goodbye.
Okay. Any other comments, members?
I'd be happy off for that too. Bruna, I'd be happy off for that as well. Yeah, I think it makes sense to have it, at least part of it anyway, in April, early April. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, I could ask the officers then to come back and. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we will come back with a date. So I think it really does have to be the first few days of April, and we've got Easter in the middle of it. So we will come back with proposed dates. Karen, sorry, do you want to come in as well? Is that, sorry, Chair, if I hand it over?
Sorry, yes. I just missed that because I had to go down and let my husband in. I'd left him outside, locked him outside. At least it wasn't snowing.
You're not married that long, Karen.
I know. It was just to say, in terms of our audit strategy, as I've been talking about before, it's going to be tight enough to get it in. So if you are going to move a meeting forward, it would probably be better for us to move the audit strategy to a meeting after the elections. But well, we'll be in discussions with Josephine about that.
Okay, thank you. Members, that really brings us to a close. I might say I look forward to meeting the two new councillors to the audit committee. You're both welcome. And to the new director of corporate services, Josephine, I want to wish you the very best in your new role. And to those new officers who are also now reporting through to the audit committee, you're very welcome. So I look forward to meeting you all in person in due course. I want to say thank you to everybody for all the hard work and for putting together today's meeting, and to wish you all safe journeys home, or not to be going out and playing in the snow and building snowmen. I hope the snow is going away. So until we meet again, thank you very much, members. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm sorry, Chair, before we go. Has she gone?
No, I'm here.
I think we need a proposer and seconder for the last three items.
Oh, Josephine, you are correct. Yes, my apologies.
Sorry for that one.
I missed one. Okay, thank you. Proposer and seconder, members?
Proposed by Councillor Murphy and seconded by Councillor McAteer.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Josephine, for catching that. Okay, members, I wish you well and see you next time.
Bye-bye.
And officers, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.